we are considering verse 3.
1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, which reads thus, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. On Friday, I brought to your attention the great truths of our faith, that by the great mercy of God, it had to be mercy, that we who deserve death, the wrath of God, eternal hell, and separation from God, received His mercy. And that mercy was on the cross of Calvary, where Jesus died in our place. And we understood a little bit about the great truth of redemption. He paid the price. That is the essence of the word redemption. He paid the price in full so that we don't have to pay for our sin. He removed the guilt in that He satisfied, appeased, placated the wrath of God. That great truth is summarized in the words atonement and propitiation. We understood that all this is the demonstration of the great love of our God, how much He loved us. This morning, as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we must understand that it is through the resurrection. Look at the resurrection
of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We are born again. And not just born again. I hope you're looking at the text.
Because if you don't look at the text, you're only understanding something in the air. And it may not remain in your mind. You are born again, and not just born again, but you are born again to what? Look in the text. To a living hope. So you are taken by that new birth. Your new birth is into the hope that is living. It's a great verse. And I'm going to read it again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I hope you notice how Peter makes it very clear that the resurrection is from the dead. He doesn't want us to lose the fact that Jesus actually died. He really died. Some religions and philosophies and even some Christian theologians who have abandoned the faith, and we can call them apostate, heretics, gaddars, and worse, they think Jesus just swooned on the cross. He didn't actually die. When you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the Apostle Paul says, inspired by the Spirit of God,
I want you to understand the gospel which I preach to you. That Christ, Jesus, died according to the scriptures. The next thing he says, and he was buried. And again, the Spirit of God is very, very clear in emphasizing for us that Jesus Christ was buried. So that we understand that he actually died. Now, if you study the whole truth as taught in the scriptures contained in the Bible, you will understand that the resurrection required all the power of God. And that power of resurrection, that power of resurrection is able, says the Bible, to raise you up from deadness in sin to new life in Christ. That's the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the Apostle Paul said, I want to know the power of his resurrection. We must not go from church today, thinking that, yes, I sin, that in this sanctification process, I sin and I can't help it. If we go back with that thought, then we are not Christian. We cannot stay in our sin. We cannot be easy on ourselves, when we do not have victory over our sin. Because the Bible emphasizes that the resurrection brought us into what? Look at it. New life first. We are born again. That means new life to a living hope. It's not just a hope that one day, tomorrow, I will be all right. It is today I can be victorious. I do not need to nurture my sinfulness, the residual sin, whatever you may call it. But in the sanctification process, I have the power of resurrection, new life, new hope, not just somewhere far away in the future I will be perfected, but right now, as I live this side of heaven, in this world where there is a lot of pressure to sin, to be worldly, to be compromised, I can spit on the world. I can turn my back to the world. And I can be victorious over selfishness, over bitterness. Yes, I'm mildly rebuked. But we should rebuke ourselves when we feel anguish over loss. Because we are holding on to what? Our own desires. We should anguish only over sin, that we want to be rid of it. We are not perfect. So it's not the perfection of our life. And John MacArthur has put it very well. It's not the perfection of your life, but it is the direction of your life. What is the direction of your life? Where are you moving day by day? In which direction are you going? Are you directing your life? And are you consciously living to become perfect? So look at that verse again. 1 Peter chapter
1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The new birth is centered on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 3, and then again in verse 5, speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus had a discussion. Should I go back, now that I'm old, back to my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual work of God that God does, and you don't fully understand it because the wind blows where it will. You don't know where it's coming and where it's going, but it is sure. And what do we understand by that? We understand that the old life, your old life, your old nature, bent to sin, must be done away with and has been done away with. That's the teaching of the scriptures. You can read about it in Romans chapter 5 and 6 and 7. And come into the glory of Romans chapter 8. We need to become new. And we need to know we are new. And we need to know that things have changed. In the old days when I was young, we used to sing a chorus. Great change since I was born. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Books I used to read, I read them no more. And we could add so many things. And we used to sing to encourage one another that great change has happened. And it's tangible. It's visible. It's not something that is so spiritual and so airy-fairy that no one sees it and I don't know that I'm changed. And I'm still struggling. I'm still, oh, poor me. Pity me. Sympathize with me. I'm struggling. No, the Christian is called to, while struggling, to speak of victory. Speak of victory, not of defeat. The sting of death is sin. The sting has been removed. You must know that for sure. We call this new birth regeneration. It happens by an act of God, by a Spirit working through His Word. It's by the grace of God, making the sinner into a saint, making a sinner into a holy one. You have to speak to yourself these truths. I am a holy one. I am a saint. Great change has happened. New birth has happened. Regeneration has taken place. I've been raised up with Christ. I have been made alive. Ephesians chapter 2. Why? Because in that regeneration, I have been made conscious that the worst thing and the only thing that is the problem in my life is not lack of education or finances or health. It is my sin. That's the only problem. And I become conscious of it. And not only do I become conscious of it, I become convicted of it. So convicted that I'm broken. And I am in anguish.
Woe is me before a holy God. I'm a sinner deserving death and the wrath of God, and convicted into brokenness. I say, what must I do? But plead for the mercy of God and repent and turn away from my sin and say, I want to be free from sin. I must be free from my sin, otherwise I am already dead. I have no hope. I have no life. And I repent and I turn towards God. And He accepts me. Oh yes, just as I am at that point. But He makes me new. He has to make me new. I have to be new. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God. He's reconciled us. Amen? Have you experienced that? The sinner sees the only solution to his only problem, which is sin, is Christ, who died and rose again. He's my substitute. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my hope. And Peter has all this in mind as he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The first point that I want to make sure hits hard and stays fast in your souls is this, that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have new birth. See it in that verse. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been born again. That's the truth that the Apostle Paul is inspired by the Spirit of God in Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 9 and 10. And he puts it this way, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, that is by His death, much more, underline that, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. By His life means He's alive today. By His resurrection, He's alive today. And the much more is not in quantity or quality. Because you can't say the resurrection of Christ is more important than the death of Christ. It's all together. But because He died, we are saved. But much more in terms of certainty. Much more, I can be sure that if He died for me, He could save me for all eternity. Because when He died for me, He took my sin upon Himself. Now that He's alive, I am even more sure that He can keep me saved. You know what that means? Keep me saved now that He's alive. I don't keep going back to my sin. I have been saved from that. not to be a pig. Have you seen pigs? And Peter talks about being like pigs. Pigs go back to the dirt and the muck. And you can't say, I am being sanctified, but I am a pig. I am a little piggy Christian. You know how he came to Romans chapter 5? He was there in Romans chapter 4. And you mustn't read a verse without seeing the whole context in Romans chapter 4. And if we go to Romans chapter 4, I might take you to Romans chapter 3 and then to do. But you better read it all for yourself. But look at Romans chapter 4. How does he end Romans chapter 4? Verse 22 to 25. That is why Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the word "it was counted to him" was not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You see that? It's all about his death and resurrection. By his death we are saved much more. We will be sure that we are saved by his life. You know, every day a true Christian can wake up in the morning feeling clean. Go through the day and look people in the eye, because there is nothing to hide. You're living a holy life. Why? Because you want to. Because you need to. But even much more, because you have been born again into new life. Sin, therefore, has no more dominion over the believer. Jesus is alive. I mean, those two have to get into your logic. You have to be a rational person. You can't say Jesus is alive and also say, I am still struggling with my sin in defeat. Oh, you can say, I'm struggling. But the struggling is less and less. The victory is more and more. Otherwise, you're living an illogical life. Can you understand? Every time the resurrection passage was read, I hope you caught this. John chapter 20, verse 9. Luke chapter 24, verse 24, 25. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. You know what it says? He rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. He opened the scriptures because they were dullards. And he helped them to understand. Read. I kept telling you when I was with you. It's in the scriptures that the Christ had to come and die and rise again the third day. And it says there in those words, post-resurrection, he made them understand. Understand, underline the word understand. That is, in our logical thinking processes, we have to grasp it. We have to understand that Christ rose again. If he is alive, then I should live the saved life in victory over sin. Because the new life is what? New. Sin has no more dominion over the believer. See Romans chapter 6, and I will just read it. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and following. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?
By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. See, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like him, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. See, we have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin shall have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Secondly, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 is saying, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have living hope. Not only have we been born again into newness of life, but we are born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to a living hope. Every time the Apostle Paul had to face trial, he was arrested many times, put into jail many times, he was quick to make this point in his defense. Look at Acts chapter 23, for instance, about this living hope. The example of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 23, verse 6. What does the Apostle Paul say? When he perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope." See, it is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. Are you getting it? The hope and the resurrection. In that same book, turn a page to chapter 24 of Acts in verse 15. Again, Paul is saying, you know why I'm here? Because having a hope in God, see, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be what? A resurrection of both the just and the unjust. The just will go to heaven, and the unjust will go to hell. A few pages further, in chapter 26 of the book of Acts, there's Paul again, verse 6 and 7. He says, "Now I stand here on trial because of my hope." See? I stand on trial because I have hope. If anyone catches you and persecutes you, they should catch you and persecute you. Not just for being a believer, but a believer who has hope. And they don't have hope. And you can stand tall because you have hope. And what is this hope? You know what he says? In the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. Israel worshiped night and day with this hope that one day Messiah would come and release them from what? The huge burden of sacrifice. Sacrifice. The shedding of blood. For what? For the remission of sin. And give them hope that they can be free from sin. And for this hope, say, I am accused by Jews, O King. The Bible makes this clear. Look again in Romans chapter 5, verse 2. It says, through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope. See, when I'm a believer, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm a believer. You know what this whole believer thing is all about? It's rejoicing in hope. It's not just saying, I'm a believer. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to have eternal life and not being able to define it further. Fine-tune it. You know, I am happy. I am joyful because all my tomorrows are secured. And I can have assurance moment by moment of walking with God who is alive. He's alive, right? He's alive. And you can relate with him moment by moment. And the wonderful thing is he's not stuck in a physical form. Jesus is alive and by his Holy Spirit he indwells us, but he's available to all the time, right? If you want to meet me, you have to find time. I have to find time, and then somehow we have to meet because we are bound by the physical, limited by the physical. We have unlimited access to the living Jesus. He's alive. And because I can know him unlimitedly, 24/7, I rejoice. Because if I can meet him all the time and he's with me all the time, then he can help me to be what? What's the word? Holy. You know, the blessedness, the happiness of life is in holiness. I guarantee you this on the word of God, that if you're really holy, you will be really happy because you will not have anything to hide. You will have nothing to hide. You have nothing to hide. Some conversations are going on. Let's just concentrate. You have nothing to hide. You live a holy life. You have nothing to hide. In Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Again, turn to Romans chapter 8 and see this elaboration and explanation and exposition of what Peter is saying in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Romans chapter 8, 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25, he says, for in this hope we were saved. See? You know what you were saved? Into and in the salvation we talk about. I'm saved. I'm born again. In hope. And into hope. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And what is that final hope? That we will be what? Perfect. There will be absolutely no sin. We will be like Jesus when we see him face to face. But now we have the guarantee of that hope and we can be patient for that perfection because the direction of our life is what? Perfection. I want to be perfect. Do you? Or do you want to wallow in your imperfection? After all, who's perfect? That is a thing to throw into the dustbin, the garbage. This statement, who's perfect anyway? Who's perfect anyway? So we can excuse ourselves. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, and we say, even when we do wrong and we come to each other and say, I'm sorry, you say, it doesn't matter. And really, we human beings and even believers don't care. When we sin against each other and even when we say sorry, and very often we don't even know that we should say sorry when we do wrong. We just come back and have a relationship as if nothing went wrong. And we don't take sin seriously enough when sorry is not part of our, forget vocabulary, but our life. Again in chapter 15 of the book of Romans, quoting from Isaiah, Romans chapter 15 verse 12 says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles what? Hope. Peter is not the only one who talks about this hope. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1 and following, and you read it for yourself, Paul is dealing with the greater confidence we have in the new covenant of the Spirit. It's a lot of truth there. And he compares it with Moses on Mount Sinai. And when Moses came down, he had to put a veil in front of his face because the people said, we can't look at you. It's too glorious, too radiant. Hide your face from us. That was the old covenant, but we now are in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is what he says. Since we have such a hope. Look at those words. Since we have such a hope. We are very bold. We are very confident. We are, to the world, filled with audacity. Because we can live with courage. There is no power and strength. Just as I said about happiness. No power and no courage than that which comes from spiritual holiness. Paul prays, therefore, for the believers. Some great prayers. But in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, you know what he prays? He says, I'm praying that having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? We can pray for each other. You can pray for yourself. Lord, help me to understand what is the hope to which you have called me. You have called me in hope, to hope, into hope. My whole life, this whole salvation, this new birth is hope of purity and holiness that will one day lead to perfection when I see Christ face to face. There was a time, as it's described for us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, when we were separated from Christ, alienated from the commandments, commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. And without God in this world, see what kind or quality of hope we believers have. It's called a blessed hope. Titus 2:13, a blessed hope. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it is called what? A living hope. The hope that comes out of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is spelt out in so much more detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this morning, And into the afternoon, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those portions twice. I read it as we opened, and we read it again. You know, we have hope, not only in this life, but in the next life. We have hope from the time we believe till the time we die physically, but even post our physical death into all eternity. And it's not a lie. And that hope includes our own bodily resurrection, when we shall all be changed and we shall be with Christ. We end with this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we respond to this except to say, God, you are so blessed. We bless you, Lord. You know, this blessing is beyond worship. You know what it is? Just think about the words, blessed be God. And this is a human uttering words of blessing to God. Hey, think with me. Think with me straight. Who blesses whom? Who has a right to bless? Who gives ashirwad? It's always the superior to the inferior, right? I vadil detat. Right? Your professor will bless you and say, I bless you. Your pastor blesses you. Your elders bless you. But we're not making God inferior when we bless God. You know what we do when we bless? We are going beyond worship. We are lifting God and giving Him great pleasure, because we're saying, through my life, this new life, which is full of living hope, may it really give great pleasure to your heart, Almighty God. And not only do we bless God, we remember this as well, that it is according to your great mercy. I'm not saying stop thinking grace, grace, grace all the time. Oh, we think a lot about grace. I'm saying continue to think about grace, because grace is the undeserved favor and blessing of God upon your life. But equally, think about mercy. You receive mercy. And it is not just cheap mercy. It is great mercy. You know why? Because all that I should have received and all that you should have received, all that scourging, all that anguish, all that wrath of God, which I deserved, was put upon the Savior. Is that great mercy? How much do you think of grace? How much do you think of the mercy of God? In Ephesians 2, chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, but God, being rich in mercy. He was rich in mercy. We not only bless God, but we live what 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1 verse 3 says. And I turn your attention back to it. And I want us to read it as we close. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our Father, may it be true. In the experience of each one of us who knows you, who claims to be born again, saved, help us to grab hold of that living, daily living hope that comes with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To live that new life that you have brought us into by your initiative, your great mercy, your tender love. What a wonderful new life you've given us. We give you thanks and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.